You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to another post-game edition of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose of Sports Talk 790. The Rockets absolutely took it on the chin on Friday night against the Warriors. 125-108 losers. Game really wasn't even that close. The Warriors were up 20 after three quarters, thoroughly outplaying the Rockets, and really it could have been even more than the 17-point margin had the Warriors felt like they had something to play for in the fourth quarter. And I know looking on Twitter, a lot of the reaction is anti-Corey Brewer, and certainly I'm not going to disagree with you guys. I think we're at a point that he is unplayable, but I'm not going to lead off this show with that because, well, when you take it on the chin and you're really a 20-plus point loser, it's a lot more than one role player who played 19 minutes. As a team, this is a continuation of problems that we've seen throughout January. Rockets have now lost four of their past six. It's really the first patch of adversity we've seen them encounter this year, and really a lot of the problems were the same. They shot 4 of 28 from 3 in the first three quarters. That's when the game was really decided, and they were down 20 points after 3, and that 4 of 28, that's 14%. One of my good Twitter followers responded to me during the game and pointed out that these clunkers keep happening. For 11 games now, the Rockets have shot 32% from three over the past 11 games. That's the fourth worst in the NBA over that span. And, of course, it goes back to Eric Gordon. 2 of 14 overall, 0 of 7 from three. It's the sixth time this month that he has either shot below 20% from three or not played. So where I'm going with that is that a big part of the turnaround for the Rockets this season has been the presence of Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson. We know that storyline, and well, over this 4 of 6 losing stretch, it's like they've essentially disappeared. Ryan tried to play Friday night, but really he's still battling with the flu, stomach virus, whatever you want to call it. He played 9 minutes, didn't score, largely ineffective, did not return for the second half, and is not making a trip to Memphis for tonight either. And Eric, of course, just 2 of 14, 6 points, minus 12 in his 33 minutes. So this month, Eric Gordon, we know that he has the sprained toe on his left foot, and he's also turned his right ankle as well. So maybe it's coincidental, maybe it's injury-related, but Eric Gordon has regressed majorly in January relative to December. And Ryan Anderson, for the last week, has not been there at all. And even before that, we heard that he was trying to battle through these flu-like symptoms for a few games before finally this week they realized that they needed to shut him down for an extended period to let that virus exit his system. But big picture, what you're left with Gordon playing this poorly and Ryan Anderson not out there to space the floor at all, the Rockets right now look a lot like last year's Rockets when you didn't have the spacing and essentially it was up to James Harden to play hero ball. And even the game Wednesday night that they won against Milwaukee, I gave them a lot of credit, loved their defense and energy, but the offensive end of the court, Harden shot 25 times. Without Ryan Anderson, those passing lanes are not there. We saw it a lot early against the Warriors on Friday. Now, they are a very long team. They are very good defensively, and so you give them credit. But a lot of James Harden's 7 turnovers, his stat line overall, 17 points, 11 assists, 7 rebounds. Okay, it's not the MVP version of James Harden that we're used to, but really, he didn't have a lot of help. But those turnovers, where it comes from, he's used to having big passing lanes because of the presence of Ryan Anderson. And that's one thing we've seen over the past week or so is just how valuable Ryan's sheer presence is. Because when he's out there, the defense has to respect him all the way out to 27, 28 feet. When he's not out there and the likes of Eric Gordon aren't hitting their threes, when the Rockets are basically a team that you want to shoot threes, which is, you know, if you shoot 4 of 28 as they did in the first three quarters, opposing defenses are going to let them shoot more until they make a few. Then the passing lanes go away from James Harden, and that's how you end up with 7 turnovers from James, many early on. Now, certainly, he was a little careless at times, and the Warriors are a very long team, so you give credit to them. But the biggest factor is that, well, the passing lanes just weren't there without Ryan Anderson and with Eric Gordon not playing at his usual level of production. And the other thing, like I said, James earlier this week, he had one game where he shot 30 times, another 25. Now, he couldn't do that tonight, or Friday night, I should say. He was just 6 of 13 from the field, only 13 field goal attempts. But a big part of that is because when you're playing the Warriors, they are so long. I think the Rockets know going in that, number one, just playing isolation hero ball against a team that is that physical, that long, is not going to end that well. And secondly, to beat the Warriors, it's going to take a collective team effort. So even if James had shot 25 or 30 times, that was not really a way that the Rockets could win against an opponent this good with the likes of Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, etc., etc. So Harden knew that that 25-30 shot per game recipe was not going to work. It wasn't going to win. So he knew he had to try and get his teammates more involved, like they did early in December when they beat the Warriors in Oakland. But unfortunately, it was a combination of, well, there weren't the passing lanes, so Harden had 7 turnovers. And then when he did make good passes, shooters did not make their shots, as evidenced by the 4 of 28 in the first 3 quarters. So really, right now, it feels a lot like the Rockets from a year ago because James, for the Rockets to have success, James essentially has to put the team on his back. And he almost did Tuesday in Miami. He did Wednesday at home against Milwaukee. But both of those games are not the formula that we have seen the Rockets become one of the best teams in the NBA this season. They haven't done so on the back of James Harden just being, an imitation Russell Westbrook in terms of just taking over a game individually and trying to score 30, 40 points. And James isn't doing it because he's being selfish. He's doing it out of necessity because the help is not there right now. And Friday night, that all came to a head. And whereas some of these other games they've lost, I think the close loss to Memphis, the loss in Miami, we saw a lot of these same trends, but the game was at least somewhat close in the fourth quarter because, well, the Rockets are good enough, especially with Harden, to still be competitive even when the shots aren't falling from three. Unfortunately, the Warriors, probably the most talented team in NBA history, and so you have a night like that against them, and, well, it can get out of hand in a hurry. Now, to the Rockets' credit, they did scrap really well. I pointed out in the first half, they shot 4 of 18, which was, I thought at the time that was bad, 4 of 18. And then little did we know they'd go 0 of 10 in the third quarter to make it worse. First half, they shot 4 of 18. They did not get much from Ryan Anderson or Eric Gordon. And yet, it was a 2-point game in the closing seconds of the first half. And so the way they did that, Sam Decker, Clint Capella, big games off the bench. Clint Capella, this was tremendous for him. 22 points, 12 rebounds in his 21 minutes. Now, he was a negative 14. I thought he was a little slow on his defensive rotations and looked a little lost, but that's to be expected coming off basically not playing for a month. Also, it's tough when you're a true center, as Clint is, to play against the Warriors in space. It takes a lot of training, repetition, and at this point, he's just trying to get his legs out from under, back under him. So for Clint, yeah, there were a few negatives, but by and large, seeing him run the floor, seeing him play 21 minutes without getting fatigued, we asked Mike D'Antoni before the game if he was still on a minutes restriction, and Mike said no. He said really that his limited minutes this week were not because they're worried about his leg or anything like that. It's just a matter of his conditioning and Clint needing to earn more minutes. Friday night against Golden State, he certainly did that, and I would not be a bit surprised to see Saturday maybe Capella, especially against Pau Gasol, reclaims the starting spot just as he had before the broken fibula. So that was encouraging. His activity around the glass kept the Rockets in it. Sam Decker as well, 17 points, 7 rebounds. He's still not really making the threes. Decker was 1 of 7, and that's a little deflating. But he was extremely active on the offensive glass, and he was a big part of why the Rockets were able to match up with Golden State athletically and stay in it for, really, I would say, until the opening minutes of the third quarter against a loaded Golden State team that's playing incredibly well. Again, give them credit. It's not just the Rockets. They blew out the Cavs in Oklahoma City this week as well. But Decker and Capella, encouraging because, to me, those are your variables. You worry about these young guys, Decker, Capella, Montrezl Harrell. Harrell was so-so, 8 points, 3 rebounds in his 27 minutes, although Harrell played fantastic against them in the win in December. So when you look at these two games that the Rockets have had against the Warriors, one win, one loss, your variables, Decker, Capella, Harrell, have generally played very well. that's what you like to see, because these are your young guys. You don't know if you can match the Warriors in terms of their depth, their extreme length, their athleticism. And so what you would consider to be, again, variables, the Rockets have held up very well. And so in that sense, I might actually be more optimistic about the Rockets and their ability to compete with the Warriors in a playoff series. Not beat, because I don't think anybody's going to beat the Warriors 4 times out of 7. We're talking about just compete and give yourself a chance. And in some ways, I'm more optimistic about the Rockets-Warriors matchup than I was even before Friday night. The problem, and it's a big problem, but the good news is it's a fixable problem, is that you are not getting what you would expect from the likes of Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson. When the Rockets beat the Warriors in early December, Ryan and Eric combined for 52 points on 18 of 36 field goals. Spoiler alert, that's 50%. Tonight, Anderson didn't score, and Eric Gordon was 2 of 14 for 6 points. So again, you're not looking for Ryan and Eric to be something they're not. You just want them to be the guys you paid a combined $133 million for. The guys that, now that they're in their upper 20s, they just need to play to their established roles in the NBA of spacing the floor, and in Eric's case, doing a little bit of positive creation off the dribble. Friday night, they did not do that, and the Rockets took it on the chin. But as far as problems go, I would say this is a better problem than, say, the Rockets' role players getting obliterated because, well, you're paying a lot of money to Ryan and Eric because they have a long track record at the NBA level, and, again, you're not asking them to become something they're not. You just want them to be healthy and play to the roles that they have played for the majority of their career, and certainly for the most part, in this 33-13 start to the season. So these are manageable problems. What you don't know going in is, well, what you can expect, especially athletically, from the likes of Sam Decker, Clint Capella, Montrezl Harrell, your young guys, and they are actually playing pretty well against the Warriors. So big picture, I don't think this is a huge problem. I know the score is what it is, and it's deflating, but the reality is that the Rockets, when they shoot like this from the field, they're not going to beat many teams. We saw that against Miami, who entering that game on Tuesday had the second worst record in the NBA, and they beat the Rockets somewhat with relative ease. They should have beaten them by double digits because the Rockets couldn't shoot from outside. They didn't have Ryan Anderson. So right now, I would not focus on the final and say, well, the Warriors are just completely unbeatable, just mail it in. No, I think it's less about the Warriors and it's more about the Rockets. This is a continuation of trends we have seen for this month, and really the Rockets just need to get healthy. They need to get back to who they were just a few weeks ago. And if they do that, then I have confidence that the latter two matchups against the Warriors, they can compete much better than they did on Friday night. Another thing we should mention, the schedule is not doing the Rockets any favors. That was their 7th game in 11 nights. Saturday night, Memphis will be their 8th in 12 nights. So yeah, it really sucks that not only are the Rockets hitting this rough patch with injuries and sickness. We know Gordon's been injured. Ryan's been ill for the past week. And of course, it happens right as the Rockets are in just this hell stretch of night after night of basketball, 5 games in 7 nights this week. And now they're heading out on a 5-game road trip. It is going to get easier once the calendar turns to February. But for now, it's a rough patch. And unfortunately, the Rockets are hitting their injury sickness bug at the wrong time, and it happens. But the one thing I will tell you guys is that it doesn't just happen to the Rockets. Look at the rest of the NBA. The Clippers, who are the Rockets' closest competition for a top 3 spot in the West, Clippers lost 6 games in a row at the end of December, and Chris Paul and Blake Griffin pretty much missed all of them. Now, Chris Paul is out again for 6 to 8 weeks. San Antonio, Pau Gasol is out for, it looks like, at least a month with a broken hand. So, injuries happen. Slumps happen. The only teams they don't really happen to are like the Warriors, because the Warriors' talent is so damn overwhelming that as long as Durant, Curry, Thompson, Green, as long as those guys are out there, even when they hit a rough patch where maybe they're not as dialed in defensively, maybe they're a little cold from the field, maybe a role player or two is hurt, or they're playing 8 games in 12 nights, the talent for the Warriors is just so overwhelming that they are immune to those types of slumps, whereas the Rockets, it sucks that they've lost 4 of 6, but this happens around the NBA. This is just the way it goes over an 82-game season, and it's not just the Rockets. You look at the Clippers, the Spurs, the Jazz, most of their chief competition, they've gone through it as well. The Rockets just have to not let it deflate them. They can't let it demoralize them. You just have to realize that the schedule is going to ease up. Ryan is going to come back, although it won't be in Memphis on Saturday night. You can't expect him, after pumping him full of IVs Friday, if that wasn't going to work out. It's not like he's going to be ready to hop on a plane and then be completely better in 22 hours. Unfortunately, I think we have to wait at least a couple more days until the midpoint of this road trip to really expect Ryan back. But big picture, yeah, these slumps happen. It was naive to think that the Rockets were talented enough to make it through the grind of an 82-game schedule without it happening at some point. The only teams that, again, you can somewhat avoid it are like the Warriors, maybe the Cavaliers with LeBron, because your overall talent is just so extreme that typical slumps you can overcome, you can grind through. The Rockets are a team, we know what their upside is. We saw it in December when they are fully healthy and clicking, but 82 games, it's just not going to happen every week, and the Rockets have hit a rough patch, and they've just got to continue to grind through it and trust their medical staff to do what's best for Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon to hopefully get them back to the players we know they can be. Now, finally, to close out this podcast, I'm going to get to the topic that I know everybody on Twitter is having a field day with, which is Corey Brewer. And if you looked at Daryl Morey's Twitter after the game, GM of the Rockets, Daryl tweeted out just a simple congratulations to the Warriors. And literally, the first 100 responses or so were some variation of, what are you doing, dump Brewer? And while I get the frustration, I actually laughed at a few of them because they were pretty funny. Let's not blow this out of proportion. Corey Brewer played 19 minutes. He was -7. Yes, he's a bad shooter, but really, 1-4 from the field, 0-1 from 3. Corey Brewer is not why you lost this game. You could upgrade Corey Brewer to a decent rotation 3-and-D wing. I'm going to throw out Tabo Sefolosha because I mentioned him before. Yeah, that might save you 4 or 5 points a game on average. But that's not why you lost by 17 and really should have been more than that on Friday night against the Warriors. That's not why you lost to the Miami Heat, the second worst team in the NBA going into that game by record. That's not why you've lost 4 of 6. Yes, he should be upgraded, and we need to point it out because it's just a glaring area that the Rockets can upgrade. But I think a lot of people are blowing it out of proportion relative to what's going on with the Rockets. The big picture is that the guys that they count on to make shots and space the floor, Eric Gordon, Ryan Anderson, right now, they're not doing it. That's a much bigger factor. Now, I know a lot of people look at Brewer because whenever someone's out, such as Ryan in the second half, Friday night, Ryan Tuesday and Wednesday, Corey Brewer gets the starting spot, and so I think that rubs a lot of people the wrong way. Again, what I would tell you guys is, look at the minutes, not who starts. The reason Corey Brewer gets those spot starts is because Mike D'Antoni does not want to yank around his regulars when it comes to their roles. He wants people to buy in. So you look at the wing positions for the Rockets, and I'll throw in James, Pat Beverly, Trevor Ariza, Sam Decker, Eric Gordon. Beverly, Harden, and Ariza start, and then you look off the bench, Decker, Gordon, and Corey are all capable of playing wing minutes. Friday night, Eric Gordon played 33 minutes. Sam Decker played 28. Corey Brewer played 19. So even though he was the guy who got the start, Gordon and Decker are still playing substantially more minutes overall, and that's because Mike D'Antoni knows that they are much better players. It's not like he's blind to this. A lot of people just look at the starting spot and they throw up their hands and say, well, how can you do this? No, he's trying to keep the regulars in their roles because he knows that Ryan Anderson is going to be back and Corey Brewer is not going to be a long-term starter or a long-term even fixture in this rotation. So if you're going to make a temporary Band-Aid move, you may as well do it with someone like that rather than disrupt someone from the role that you want them to be in for the better part of the season, as you do with Eric Gordon and Sam Decker off the bench. So that's my point one. Don't blow out of proportion the fact that Corey is in the starting lineup in some of these games. Mike D'Antoni is not playing him disproportionate minutes. He recognizes what the limitations are. So I think that contributes to some people, their level of rage with Corey. The other thing, quite frankly, yeah, he's a bad basketball player, and there's no other way to put it at this point. I will say that going back a couple of years, I never thought that Corey was going to be a candidate to age gracefully, because guys who typically play well into their 30s in the NBA are guys that can shoot. He never really had a good jumper. He was always a guy, it was just his elite athleticism, his slashing ability, his never-ending energy. And those are things that when you get to the backside of 30, they tend to go away. And then when that declines a little bit, and the fact that he still doesn't shoot well, it's not a good mix. A couple of years ago, it was a good mix. Last year, I think he, like a lot of guys, yes, his athleticism slipped a little bit more last year. I thought he tried to do too much. He was too erratic. This year, he's kept the turnovers in check a little bit. The big problem is just that, well, he can't shoot, and he doesn't have the athleticism that he had a couple of years ago to still make an impact. So at this point, Corey Brewer on the wrong side of 30, I don't know how he's going to get better. And I know Mike D'Antoni gives him credit in press conferences when people ask him before the game. But the reality is that he's not going to throw someone on the bus, under the bus, who is in the team's rotation at this point in the year. He's going to give them votes of confidence until he has an alternative otherwise. Now, with the current roster, the obvious alternative would be KJ McDaniels. And I'm floored that KJ has not gotten a look. I know Mike D'Antoni, he's the front runner for Coach of the Year. I'm certainly not going to say I know better than him, but with the Rockets, it's a combination of A, Corey playing this poorly, and B, so many tired legs. Again, 8 games in 12 nights, 5 games in 7 this week. You could use a spark, anything, just fresh legs, and that's what KJ can potentially provide. Yet, he still did not even get 1 minute of realistic time against the Warriors on Friday night. So you got to look at this from a couple of perspectives. First, maybe Corey Brewer is outplaying KJ McDaniels in practices. We don't get to see practices. It's not really my place to judge. So maybe it's possible that Corey is going out there and playing that well. I will point out that Corey's biggest weakness, it's his lack of a jump shot. Well, it's not like KJ McDaniels is a great shooter either. So yes, maybe it's possible that Corey Brewer is outplaying him in practice. Another thing I'd point out, the Rockets do have a lot of guys off the bench, a lot of youth in guys like Sam Decker, Clint Capella, Montrezl Harrell. Although he started Friday night, you can throw him in the bench group a lot. And so you have a lot of guys who miss rotations. I saw that a lot from Clint Capella on Friday. That's why he was a negative 14 in his 21 minutes. And so maybe throwing another young guy like KJ McDaniels out there, maybe that's something that Mike D'Antoni is uncomfortable with, because there's already so much youth already. Maybe he'd prefer a steadier hand like Corey Brewer, because Corey, for all of his weaknesses, he does know the system. He is a pretty good defender. He doesn't unnecessarily gamble. He doesn't get lost. So there is some predictability with Corey, some trust that might not be there with KJ McDaniels. And while Mike is already kind of putting some guys he can't really trust to make all the rotations out there, maybe he doesn't want to do that with KJ as well, especially because it's not like KJ can shoot that much better on the offensive end anyway. So what I would tell you guys is that, yes, it's possible. Personally, knowing what I know, I would give KJ a look, but I'm not in practices. I can see a case where maybe Corey does look head and shoulders above KJ, and that's why Mike D'Antoni is playing this rotation as he is. However, what I want to stress is that is not the only option. Corey Brewer's play has gotten so bad. And again, Friday night, 1 of 4, 4 points, 0 of 1 from behind the arc, -7. At one point, he was actually -14 in 12 minutes, just something staggeringly poor. But even if KJ McDaniels doesn't look better than Corey, that doesn't say anything about Corey necessarily being that good. To me, that's more about KJ McDaniels, for whatever reason, being that bad. And so if that's the case, the onus is on Daryl Morey to go out and get another 3-and-D wing. I know it's not the deadline, but deals can be struck. Just look at the deal that sent Kyle Korver from Atlanta to Cleveland. The bottom line is that Corey Brewer, at this point, it's not just that he's unplayable. It's that he's 30 years old, and his weaknesses, his jump shot, his fading athleticism, are not going to get better. This is not a guy who you can make a realistic case for, well, if we just keep throwing out there, he's going to turn it around. There's nothing other than blind hope to think that with Corey Brewer. So I would like to see them give more time to KJ McDaniels, but yeah, I can buy a scenario where maybe based on things that happen at practice, D'Antoni comes to the conclusion that Corey is simply better. What I would point out is that even if Corey is better than KJ McDaniels, that doesn't make him a viable player overall. you have still got to upgrade that spot somehow. And if it's not KJ, then the onus is on Daryl Morey to go out and find another 3-and-D guy, a guy that can make shots at a better clip, maybe has a little bit better athleticism and ability to compete defensively. I thought the Warriors exposed Corey at times on that end as well. But either way, something has got to be done because it's just glaring. Even when everyone is healthy, that's still a 12 to 15 minute per game role. And that's 12 to 15 minutes in which you have a clearly below average NBA player with no upside. So it's something the Rockets need to fix. Maybe if you really talk me into it, you can sell me that KJ McDaniels isn't any better. But what you can't sell me on is that, well, KJ McDaniels isn't better and the Rockets don't have any other options. Because really, we're not trying to get an elite player there, even a pretty good player there. All you're looking for is a decent shooter, a decent defender, a league average player. It's not going to cost the farm to get that. So if you're the Rockets, you have got to address that. It is a big deal. I agree with y'all on Twitter. I just wanted to delay it till the end of the show because while it's an issue the Rockets need to address, it's not why they lost to the Warriors. It's also not why they've lost 4 of 6. That goes back to, well, the big picture headline of this season, which is that the Rockets got James Harden more help in the form of Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon, and now for the better part of January, that help has not been there, and so now we're seeing the Rockets play start to regress to the levels that we saw on, for the better part of the 2015-2016 season. Anyway, that's enough about the Warriors game. I know it was a downer, and there are a lot of angles to talk about, but big picture, I would not be too concerned, because again, the problems are of the more fixable variety. You just want Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson to be who you think they are. You want them to be the guys you paid $133 million guaranteed to. As far as the true variables, Decker, Capella, Montrezl Harrell, again, those guys held up pretty well. So you can mount a case that actually it's not as bad as the final score might look. It's just a matter of trying to get through this rough patch and get everyone healthy. Not a long-term problem, but right now it is, and unfortunately it's not going to get much better because the Rockets play in Memphis tonight. That's the fifth game this week alone, 8 in 12 games, on the road against a Memphis team that, well, has already beaten the Rockets twice, so it's not going to be easy. I have said before, I don't think Memphis is necessarily a bad matchup for the Rockets, but right now, it's not about matchups. The Rockets just aren't a very good team at the moment, no matter who they play, when Ryan Anderson is out and Eric Gordon isn't hitting. So hopefully Eric Gordon gets hot tonight. He says that it's not the injury, so hopefully he shoots enough. This stuff is going to even out. Think that's going to be a thing to watch. Other thing, I would like to see Clint Capella get the start against Marc Gasol. Gasol is just too big, too powerful for Montrezl Harrell. I don't think they want to start Nene. They did rest Nene on Friday night, so it'll be fresh, but Nene is obviously a bench player. I don't think you want to start him and juggle that role around. Clint Capella, in his 21 minutes Friday night, 22 and 12. I think it's pretty clear that he's come a long way since his return earlier this week. So I think this would be a good game to really start Capella, get him back to his usual role, and see how he stacks up against one of the better defenders in the entire NBA in Marc Gasol. Because really, they're going to need it. If the Rockets aren't hitting from three and without Ryan Anderson, it's hard to imagine them being lethal from behind the arc. Then they are going to need to compete better on defense in the glass. The recipe that got them that win against Milwaukee, defense, energy, shot blocking, rebounds, that's what they're going to have to do to win in Memphis. And to me, starting Clint Capella inside is your best shot at getting that kind of performance. Anyway, until then, I will sign off. Again, I'm Ben Dubose. This is Locked On Rockets. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Dubose, the show at Locked On Rockets. You can also email us at lockedonrockets@gmail.com. If you've got questions for me, suggestions, advertising inquiries, whatever you want to know, we want to be your daily source for information about the Houston Rockets. If you haven't caught it yet, I had a great podcast earlier Friday with Calvin Watkins. There's a little bit of Rockets-Warriors talk, but it's more just big picture. James Harden voted as an All-Star starter for the first time, previewing this upcoming 5-game road trip. So if you haven't caught my interview with Calvin Watkins, Rockets beat writer for ESPN.com, just go through the Locked On Rockets archives, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Audio Boom, and you can find that. As always, appreciate you guys for listening, and well, for now, enjoy your weekend, and I'll do the same during the day on Saturday, and then, of course, be back with you on Saturday night when the Rockets take on the Memphis Grizzlies in Memphis. For now, enjoy your Saturday.